I'm going to read this morning for our scripture from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, and I read from the NIV version. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And this is the word of the Lord. Probably the three most powerful words in all Christianity is faith, grace, and mercy. And when we get to talking about those three words and really feeling them, it changes who we are and the way we think. And knowing and admitting how much we as individuals need grace and mercy, it makes it easier for us to give grace and mercy. Now, I know a lot of hardcore, good Christian believers still have a problem getting that seed out of their minds that works are rewarded with faith. We often have to remind ourselves, no, that works are the results of faith. And yes, there are degrees of faith. And we don't always know how shallow ours is sometimes until something happens that deepens our faith. And then we say, oh, I've never known this level before. I didn't know there was so much mercy and grace to be had. It's a journey, a daily growth, and an eye-opening experience for all of us. So the first word I want to talk about this morning is faith. And I think we all agree on the meaning of that. It means belief in Jesus Christ, meaning that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that you believe everything that the Bible tells us about him. Leo Tolstoy, the Russian who wrote War and Peace, was a great student of the Bible. He read it, and he loved the New Testament. He loved the Sermon on the Mount. He based his life on the principles of the Sermon on the Mount because he thought Jesus was a great moralistic teacher. But he didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So that starts out to be a nice story of faith, but then it just turns into nothing. Lew Wallace, the author of Ben Hur, he was a retired Civil War general, and he was not a believer. And he set out as a writer to prove that Christianity was a false religion. But the more he read, his thoughts and his heart turned, and his faith grew. And he wrote this beautiful novel called Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ. Tolstoy studied, nothing happened. His faith never lived. Lew Wallace studied, and his faith took a hold, and he became a Christian. Why? Well, God's sovereign decision, and the reasons are not to be known by the likes of you and me. One was saved, one was lost. First personal experience I ever had with something like this, I was in high school, and we had a writing teacher there that we all just loved that class. We would get in there each day and we would talk about everything imaginable. Talk about religion and ideals and ethics and hope and just everything imaginable. One day somebody asked a teacher, he said, what do you think about Jesus? And the teacher said, you know, I think Jesus was a great man. But that was it. And it took a second to sink into my 14-year-old mind that it was more important what this guy was not saying than what he was saying. He was saying, no faith. Faith is believing. But yet it's even more than that. The best definition comes from Hebrews 11:1. You know it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What a strange sentence. The evidence of things not seen. Simply put, it means faith is believing in something you can't prove. But believing isn't quite enough with Jesus. You have to learn to rely on him then and trust on him. And then that is real saving faith. We have to believe it. We have to live it and use it and stretch it. Because we cannot be saved without faith. It is truly like a muscle in your arm. The more you use it, the stronger it will get. You got to trust him and lean on him. He has big shoulders. And you'll feel it. And you'll know it. And it'll grow. And then the second word is grace. Grace means a blessing. A kindness. Grace from God is God choosing to bless us even though we are so undeserving of any kindness or any love from him whatsoever. We just read it in Ephesians a while ago in verse 8. Worth repeating though. For by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. Now, I was a pretty big boy before I understood any of that. I mean, I was brought up in the church. I was born in the church. And I was a churchgoer all my life. But I was in my late teens, I guess. We had a Sunday school teacher in our class. He was an elder there in the church. His name was Jack. And he would tell the Sunday school class words that were life-changing for me. He said, you know, it's a gift. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's a gift. It's like somebody giving you something that you can't afford. A gift. Man, nobody had ever said it so simply to me before. I was too busy hearing, you'd better be good or the devil will get you. And that just turned out to be a parental ploy to discipline kids. But we kids took it as biblical doctrine. You got to be good. Or you won't go to heaven. Others may have experienced the same thing like this. I found that it opened my eyes. Because God began showing grace to human beings as early as the Garden of Eden. He went in there after Adam and Eve had disobeyed him and he could have just wiped them out right there. But he didn't. What did he do? He showed grace. He showed love. And he's never stopped. Since. Think of it like this. We've all been there. You're much younger. And you go to your daddy and you ask him, can I have the car on Saturday night? And he says, sure, sure. There's a few things around here that need to be done this week in order for you to do that. You say, no problem. I'll do it. So he hands you a list of 10 things he wants you to do this week. You say, oh, no problem. Come Saturday night, you're all showered up and shined up, and you come to him for the keys. And he says, well, you know, you didn't take the trash out Thursday night. You never swept the driveway like you said you would, and you still haven't finished mowing the backyard. And your heart just sinks. Because you know he's right. And then you look up. And he tosses you the keys and he says, I love you. Be careful. And that is the grace of a loving and forgiving Father. And God's grace is plentiful. And he wants us to have it. But he also wants us to share it. He wants us to give it to others. Give it to people unexpectedly. And when you do, promise you, your blood will run warm through your veins. I know I've done it, and you've done it. We know it's not easy, but it is the gospel truth. And the last word is mercy. Mercy from God is when He forgives us and doesn't punish us, even though we deserve it. Now, mercy and grace is often confused, and some think of it as sort of the same thing. Really, it's not. It's different. And if you ever have trouble, here's a quick way of learning. Mercy is forgiving, even though we don't deserve it. Grace is blessing, even though we don't deserve it. Mercy is forgiving. Grace is blessing. He shows mercy throughout the Old Testament so many times before He ever gets to the New Testament and gets to the cross. We can see how He showed mercy to individuals there, how He showed mercy to the nation of Israel. And the lesson we have to always learn from His mercy is to pass it on. We are shown mercy, and we must show mercy. We are forgiven, and we must forgive. Probably the greatest example of this is a parable from the New Testament that you may be very familiar with. But I'm going to give it to you one more time, quickly, in a nutshell, of passing on mercy. A master calls in his servants. He wants to settle up debts. He wants his money. They all owe him money, so he calls them in. This first one owes him $10,000. And he says, "All right, I want you to pay me up, or I'm going to have to throw you in prison." And the servant says, "Oh, no, 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 please." And he falls on his knees and he cries and he begs, "I don't have the money. Please don't throw me into prison. Please, please." And finally the master says, "Okay, okay, okay. I'll wipe the debt clean. It's all done. It's all over. Go." Servant gets up, goes out on the street. He sees a friend of his out there who owes him $100. And he says, "I want you to settle up with me or I'm going to throw you in prison." And his friend says, "Oh no, please don't." He falls on his knees and he says, "I don't have the money, don't do that, please." He cries, he begs. And the servant grabs his friend by the throat and chokes him. And then throws him into prison. And the master hears about this story and he calls that original servant back in. And he said, "Hey, wait a minute. Shouldn't you have given him the same mercy that I gave you?" And then he had that servant thrown into prison. And Jesus tells this story. And then he sums it up this way. He says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." It's a scary lesson to be learned from that one. When much forgiveness is needed, much forgiveness should be given. So faith is believing and trusting on Jesus. Grace is blessings from God we don't deserve. And mercy is forgiveness from God we don't deserve. And the greatest of these is love. I was talking on the phone recently to a good friend of mine in the gospel music field. You would know him. And we got to talking about everything imaginable. We always do. Everything from politics to baseball. But somewhere or another we wound up and we're talking about God's mercy. And he said to me, he said, "Don, you know, I think one day when we all get to heaven, we're going to realize that God's mercy is so much wider and bigger than we ever thought it was." And then he laughed and he said, "And you know what? I'll bet it's going to make a lot of people mad." And I myself have always said that we just might be surprised who we spend eternity with. Because we are all quick and easy to judge. God is quick and easy to forgive. We get up there one day and, hey, I'm probably going to look around and say, "Well, what's he doing here? And I wasn't expecting. I would look over here at her. I didn't think she would be here. And then I'm going to see a finger pointed at me. And somebody's going to say, "What are you doing here?" I got the answer. Grace. God's grace. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray. Gracious God, teach us how to use every feeling and every fiber we have to strengthen our faith, to accept the wideness of your grace and the lovingness of your mercy. May it be your will to send healing and support to each one of us in need of your touch. In the name of Jesus, we pray our prayer. Amen.